in terms of Aboriginal people and getting an imprimatur or checking in with them to see if it's done in a way that is respectful. Mm. What other?
I think that's so important. That's necessary.
I think so too. Yeah. I think so too. I brought some of my latest work to Johnny Moses, you know, I wanted pronunciations more than anything else. Well, maybe not more than anything else, but I also wanted a sort of a notion that this should be out there. I have a friend who actually asked a tribe about publishing work, and they said, no, we don't want you to do this, and he did it anyway. And I'm going, oh, you don't know what trouble you're asking for, really. Energetically, you know, you're asking for a lot of trouble, and it's really not worth it. No matter, and you know, if it were a situation where you were selling a million books, still wouldn't be worth it.
That's right.
So talk to us about your connection to the Indigenous people, your respect for them, and your interest in that culture and here in Vancouver.
Well, I guess it started when I was in high school. I went to a strange high school because the school boundaries, school district boundaries, were very odd. They included a new suburban development of people who had made money, and they included the Capilano Reserve. And as a result, there was tension. I would hear stories of fights on the weekend, and that's when I became aware of, for the first time, I guess, because, not for the first time. I mean, coming from Malaysia as a child, I was aware of all the racist divisions. Even as a child, you were aware of that. So, and I would hear people say of First Nations people, oh, they're just lazy. This was when I was growing up in the 50s. They're just lazy, which was exactly what the white people would say about the Malays in Penang. So it just goes on. And I didn't know enough then to seek out anyone to talk to. I still don't have any First Nations friends. I go to events and so on, but I don't really have a talking relationship with anyone, except for a couple of writers, basically. My avenue seems to be through writing. When we were organizing Women in Words, the first feminist conference, that was 83, that I was involved in, we definitely wanted to have women writers who were Aboriginal. And so that's when I met Lee Miracle. And then the same thing in the subsequent conferences that I went to, it was very important to have, or organized, it was very important to have First Nations people there. And living in this neighborhood, you know, you get to know people just by seeing them on the street. But
not in the bars anymore.
No, I don't go to the bars anymore. I'm too old to go to the bars. I can't even take beer anymore.
Yeah. You know, speaking of feminism, this is a thread that I also wanted to follow up. And I mentioned that quote that's in Wikipedia from the circa 1985, a time of transition for me as I tried to integrate my feminist reading with a largely male-mentored postmodernist poetic, at the same time coming out as lesbian in my life as well as in my writing. Can you talk about that transition and maybe what prompted it and how it manifested?
Well, it was a big shift in my life, and it wasn't a surprising shift for me, although it was surprising for many of my male writer friends who objected, some of them.
Can you remember their objection? What was it like?
Oh, yeah, but I don't want to talk about that.
You're not going to out them.
I'm not going to talk about that. So I then moved into a very strongly feminist environment with my then partner, Betsy Warland, who was also a poet, And it was Betsy's idea initially, Women in Words, to organize Women in Words. It was a fantastic idea, and she did a great job of pulling women together to work on it. It was a very collective organizational process. And so then I was also reading at the same time. Interestingly, I'd gone on a protest march even before I came out. I went and formed the relationship with Betsy. I was on a protest march, and I can't even remember what we were protesting now, with Maria Heinmarch, who was part of that original Tisch milieu. And she said she'd been reading a book that she'd found very interesting. She thought I'd be interested in it too, called New French Feminisms. And so that's when I started cluing in to what was happening with the French writers, like Luce Irigaray and I'm forgetting everyone's name. It's terrible. That's what happens when you get to be in your 70s. Irigaray and Cixous, Hélène Cixous, were the two most important to me. And Julia Kristeva came along too. And all of that, together with reading what the Québécois writers were doing, because at that point there was much closer contact through feminist lines of connection between the West Coast and Montreal, between Vancouver and Montreal. That was also a very exciting opening time, because women were being very outspoken, very critical about the place that they had been put in largely Catholic, patriarchal Quebec, and what they were saying resonated very clearly with what was going on here, even though this didn't have the weight of the church on our shoulders as they did in Quebec. It also tied in with work I was doing in terms of writing about my mother and her life, which was very present in Anna Historic and Taken. Because when I read Simone de Beauvoir, I could see exactly what was going on with my mother. That's an interesting experience when you write about your mother after she's died. She died fairly young. She just turned 58 when she died. And trying to reconstruct what her psychic space was and what the constraints on her life were without being able to talk to her about that meant a lot of inner work and a lot of also research going out. For instance, neither of my parents ever spoke about their friends' experiences as Japanese prisoners of war. So I had to do a lot of research for that, for Taken, and reconstruct what it was like for them to lose many of their friends. So, yeah, the feminist, I would say I was a proto-feminist, even when I was writing Rings, which was about giving birth to my son and the falling apart of my marriage at that point. The interest in the body seems to be, and therefore in a gendered body, because that's my body, seems to be basic. And I could theorize about that in various ways, but that seems to be the key that carries through the different stages of my writing.
The thread.
Yeah.
Yeah.